Welcome back to Startup to Success on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.
Hello, welcome to Startup to Success with Maria. My guest today is Yaakov Hasidim. He's the CEO and founder of Diamond Veneer. Yaakov, I'm so excited to have you on the show. Welcome.
I'm excited too, thank you.
So I love starting out with the question, what inspired you to start your jewelry brand?
I was in a school of architecture and I felt I wasn't up to it, up to the task. So I found a partner that was in the jewelry already and we partnered and things didn't work out. And I just took it alone and continued that way. And it's almost 20 plus years passed.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Architecture, obviously that's less, I guess it could be fun because you're building, you know, you're taking an idea and putting it on paper and then it turns into something reality.
Yeah. I was the art major. And, you know, it was in me, embedded in me, and I sort of discovered it at the age of 40 about.
Yeah,
really, that's how it works out.
Yeah. How do you think your love for art has helped you in your business today?
As an entrepreneur, you're always thriving to higher goals. And always, you are always in the business, really. The business becomes you. And there is no off days or it's 24/7. And the turning point where the Diamond Veneer was born was when I realized that there is a technology that does the coding, carbon diamond coating over different materials and primarily on industrial blades and aircraft parts.
Interesting.
And this technology also was available to do the coating on gemstones. And I just realized that we can start a new collection with that technology, coat our best sellers, best designs, with the stones with that diamond, carbon diamond coating. And it's a nano level technology that what it does to the stone, if it's a CZ, because the CZ is very white and looks very fake, the coating turns it into a G color, sort of off-white. And it increases the fire of the stone maybe 4 to 5 times. So
Wow. It's
a huge advantage. And so now you can wear CZ and not worry about lookers that they would think you're wearing fake. So it's solving a huge concern for people that don't want to touch CZ, but now they can with the diamond veneer. It looks real, it's sort of the bridge between CZ and diamond, but in incredible price points.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was at your booth earlier and I did notice how shiny.
Incredible.
Incredibly shiny.
Besides the coating that we do, we also use stones. The industry standard for luxury on CZ is 5A.
Wow.
We use 8A. Eight. What is 8A is called carbon CZ type, and it's 20 to 30% thicker than the regular CZ, which gives the more light to penetrate and the fire can the dispersion of the stone much higher, so it makes it more fiery. So that's a. And on top of that, we do the coating, and then it really comes through. It's an incredible look.
How did you learn about this technology?
I have a technical background also. I was the electronic technician for helicopters.
Oh, that explains.
So yeah, so it's sort of you connect, you merge this art and the technology, which happening every day in every other industry.
Oh yeah.
It's I mean, that's how things go.
I just never thought it was happening in the
jewelry.
In the jewelry industry. No, yeah, it's pretty fascinating to hear that.
Yeah, it is. So it's not much higher than the luxury CZ. I mean the high-end CZ that Nordstrom or Saks sells. It's probably even lower than what they sell it at. And then with the diamond veneer, they get the advantage that I just described. So, and it's all set on sterling silver, and it's the coating is done here in a lab in US. We do the mounting overseas, but we do the setting, the main stone setting here, because we coat the stone here, and then it's considered 51% US made.
Wow.
And also it's a green technology. There is no blood diamond involved. And so it's a clean, people.
That's awesome.
People don't suffer from making it.
Good, it's sustainable.
Yeah, very,
that's amazing.
Very much. Yeah.
That's amazing.
And you save so much money, it's ridiculous. It just, why buy diamonds?
Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, my 20th anniversary is coming up with my husband. Yeah.
Give him a hint with
he said, you know, I want to get you a new ring, and I want you to be involved in it.
Yeah.
And honestly, the thought of him spending money on a new ring is just like. So.
You know what I say to my customers? You can upgrade with me. Just
upgrade. Think I'm gonna have it. I'm gonna introduce
upgrade.
Him to you so that he can. Because
I want to compare your ring with this cushion.
Oh, wow!
See?
Oh,
incredible!
Wow. That's gorgeous.
The amount of fire it disperses, it's amazing.
I need to take a picture so I can convince him. This is incredible.
We have solitaires also. For
this is incredible. So how much would something like that be as a ring that size?
It will cost around $90
really?
In sterling silver, below $100.
Oh my God.
You know, this is like minimum 4 or 3 carats.
So to the regular eye, this won't look like it's not a diamond.
No, unless they loop it or jewelers. When we go to trade shows, fine jewelers come and they scratch their head when they see this. Seriously.
So this can be purchased online. People
can
go. And what is it called again? Can you?
Diamondveneer.com.
Diamondveneer. And this diamond is called what?
It's a cushion.
Cushion.
Square cushion.
Okay.
Also the advantage of this is for traveling.
Of course.
It's a travel jewelry. People that buy the real McCoys, they cannot buy the whole store. So what they do, they mix with our stuff. I have customers with private jets.
Using this?
Yeah, of course. They mix, and when they travel, they don't...
With all the theft that's happening, sometimes I'm scared to wear mine.
You know, you mentioned theft. I have customers, and it's not one or two. Seriously. They come to me to replace the things that were stolen that they bought from me. The thieves took my stuff.
Thinking it's real.
Yeah.
Diamond.
And some of them come and they get stolen from their real stuff, and they swear to their life not to buy real anymore. And they buy everything from me.
Yeah, if it looks good. Well,
yeah.
Wow, okay, I'm impressed. I'm gonna talk to my husband tonight and try to convince him not to invest the money in
diamonds. And I have the necklace that you're wearing.
Oh my God.
But much more real. No, I'm serious.
Oh my goodness.
See, the way they did it, the jump ring is too large. It's a monster jump ring.
Yeah.
It's a foreshadows your center stone.
I agree.
It shouldn't
I
be
agree.
There. It should be direct solder.
Yeah.
Or slide.
Yeah, this was...
Ours is direct solder to the... We have all the solitaires, all the diamond by the art, 14
nice.
Carats, 13
nice. Tell us, what's the one thing that you figured out in your business that helped you take the business to the next level?
I think the idea of getting this diamond veneer off ground, I mean, investing in it, it's really makes huge difference for us. And now we are like a brand. It's a brand. And hopefully we'll be picked up with one of the majors and
good.
Fly.
You will be. You will pick up. Will get picked up.
Let's hope so.
For all the aspiring jewelers out there who are aspiring to become jewelry designers or start their own jewelry line and brand, what advice do you have for them?
This is how I started. The partner I had, I invested $20,000 and it's practically got lost. So I had to start fresh and I borrowed from 3-4 credit cards that I had. And I went, I bought jewelry from importers and hit the road.
Wow.
The whole coast here.
Wow.
Up and down the coast to stores. Put a markup, very small markup. And I would visit him maybe 20, 30 stores a day, 20 a day. And I would make a lot of sales because of the margin I had and the collection I had. And right away I would go and buy more and more and more. And after 2 years I couldn't handle it anymore and I had to get a showroom in California Mart.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
That's incredible.
And then this is how it rolled out. We went to a show in New York. And the next year I had to take 4 booths, 4 employees.
That's,
we didn't have time to eat lunch.
4 booths?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's huge.
One time a Japanese buyer came. I was closing. He came in. He gave me $20,000 order.
That's incredible.
Unbelievable.
So to clarify, you started as a wholesale business.
Yeah, I'm still wholesaler, but because of the COVID,
Smart.
We have to do both.
Good.
We have to do both.
Good.
I lost 80% of my wholesale accounts.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, when the stores are closed, obviously it's going to affect the business.
Yeah, a lot.
What advice do you have for entrepreneurs in general who are...
Be persistent. Don't listen to naysayers.
Yeah.
If you believe in your gut, that's what you want, and that's what you think will be successful, do it and just stay at it.
I love that.
And
I love that.
Make sure if you go to high-end demographics, buy the most expensive items you can. Don't go cheap. This is what I learned. The more expensive item it is, I'll buy it.
Yeah.
Because that's what my customer is looking for.
Yeah.
And you give them value and they grab it.
Question it. Yeah.
I had a small shop in Beverly Hills before I went to the California Mart. And I was really a discounter. I don't like to charge a lot, high prices. So I brought sterling silver and I start selling it by gram, not by piece, by gram. And I never forget this. A lady comes in, she chooses a bracelet or something, and I put it on the weight, and I tell her, this is the price. She looks at me like that. She gave me a dirty look. She put it on the table and left.
Oh, wow.
You know why?
Why?
Because I gave it too cheap. She thought I was a crook. It was very upsetting experience.
That's great advice. I never thought of it that way. But it is, now that I think about it, it's usually...
It's unbelievable.
They just kind of judge it by the price.
And assume
that it's amazing if it's...
And jewelry is all appearance and presentation.
Right.
And branding. And you have to act and price accordingly.
I agree.
You know?
I agree. And that's, I think that's one of the biggest challenges, is how do you price it, you know, because there obviously there's so much competition, and if you put a little bit of, you know, you keep your margins small so that you can compete and be reasonable with pricing, but then how do you, when you're dealing with clients like that who didn't buy because it was too inexpensive to her?
First of all, if you deal luxury, doesn't matter what niche, there is less competition by default.
Okay.
Less competition, and jewelry in particular is a blind business. You can price it almost anything, especially when you have unique designs that nobody else has. And almost any price you almost. It's also depend on the demographics that you are engaged in. But this is how is the nature of the business. But you know, you have to stay ethical and do your margins so you stay afloat, and but also be reasonable and treat your customer with respect, and they will be loyal to you. More than 50% of my clients are repeat customers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, the 80-20 rule is my rule of thumb.
Yeah.
You know, invest that time and energy into the 20% of your customers, because
yeah,
they're going to generate the 80% of your revenue.
No, it's so true.
Yep.
It's
yep.
really true. And also the return ratio, it's usually in the industry, in mail order, you know, the internet is about 30%.
Yeah.
I have less than 10%.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where can our listeners get a hold of you? How can they purchase the product and learn more about it?
It's diamondveneer.com. Or if they don't remember, they can do Diamond Veneer Travel Jewelry.
Okay.
And we are on the web.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
for your time. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for joining Startup to Success with Maria on KLOS 95.5. FM HD3 SoCalArmenian.com.